Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Just amazing. LeBron had 49 points last night. He flexed. Imagine driving to work. For 17 years, over half my audience listens to me, not watches me. They listen on radio or a podcast. So if you're driving to work now, imagine driving to work for 17 years knowing you have to carry everybody again today or tonight. Meet LeBron James. He steps off the floor, and that's playing with Anthony Davis, somebody that you keep telling me is the second or third best player in the league. LeBron steps off the floor, and the Laker offense dies. It evaporates. He gives you everything. LeBron can do mid-range. He'll hit a three. He can penetrate. He can distribute. You need a rebound. This year, he decided to lead the league in assists. He is an unbelievable talent, and last night was a flex. The NBA is full of guys who are long and athletic, and they've got one special skill. But the league, everybody in this league except LeBron has a hole in their game. Kawhi Leonard doesn't pass. The Raptors were 17-5 last year when he didn't play. Giannis can't shoot. He's not a great shooter. He's got great length, coachable, energy. Damian Lillard is tiny. He's a defensive liability. James Harden. What about him? Have you watched May the last 4 years? Anthony Davis. I don't even trust him physically. He got hurt again last night. Anthony Davis was in New Orleans for 7 years. He had a playoff win. One series, one time. And it was mostly a series in which the guards were great against Dame and CJ McCollum. You know, the knock on LeBron has always been this. Well, you know, he comes to your team. And, I mean, he just takes the team over. Yeah, that's because he can do everything. That's because he is the greatest Swiss Army knife in the history of the sport. I've been watching basketball since 1972. I remember the year. I remember the game. Portland Trail Blazers, Los Angeles Lakers. Wilt had a headband. Jerry West was there, too. I remember the game. I was on a bunk bed, top bunk. I watched it. CBS, Brett Musburger, play-by-play. Remember the game. There's never been a basketball player like LeBron. Ever. Not Michael. Michael couldn't shoot threes like this. Michael couldn't pass like this. Michael wasn't as strong as this. Michael didn't last like this. Michael didn't make everybody better. Michael Jordan went 8 years between the James Worthy title and the Scottie Pippen emergence without winning a title, not even getting to finals. In fact, he got beat by North Carolina State. He didn't have the best college team in his own state. Volvano beat him once James Worthy left. I mean, come on. This is, you keep telling me about how Trae Young can shoot. So, this league's got a bunch of talented guys that can do stuff at a really high level. Damian Lillard, watch him live. Yo, whoa, get a bucket, dude. But he's a defensive liability, can't stop anybody. He's tiny. I mean, LeBron James is, Kawhi Leonard is the second best player in the league, and the Raptors are a number two seed without him, and were 17-5 last year when he didn't play. Lakers offense is unwatchable the second LeBron steps off the floor. You all told me Kyrie Irving. Man, he need. Remember when this used to be an argument? I mean, I'm not joking. This used to be an argument. Hey, what has LeBron done, you know, in Cleveland without Kyrie? Have you watched Kyrie's act since LeBron and him separated? He's hurt again and uncoachable again. And Brooklyn's got a better record when he doesn't play again. And Boston now is way better without him. Y'all kept telling me it was a Kyrie thing. Kyrie's career borders on bust as a number one pick if you take the LeBron years out. People were saying before LeBron got there, uncoachable, always hurt, nobody likes him. LeBron left, all that stuff come back. Nobody likes him, uncoachable, doesn't win, and he's hurt again. As a number one pick, Kyrie's career, take LeBron out, he's just gifted like the rest of this league. You can't get to this league without being gifted. You just can't get it. I mean, I've gone to events that have had baseball players and hockey players and basketball players, NBA players, and NFL players. NBA players just look different. The length, the size. I mean, they're just gifted. And they're all great at something. And several are like out of this world at something, like Damian Lillard shooting, Steph Curry shooting. But to watch LeBron last night, he does everything well. Last night, he's an old man. He had 17 fast break points. That's like an old man going up to Usain Bolt and going, excuse me, young man, I'm gonna be in lane three. Pew, running past him. He had 17 fast break points. So, and you know what's funny about this? For years and years, you kept telling me about Anthony Davis. Okay, you kept telling me about him. And I like Anthony Davis. I think he's a top 5-6 player in the league. But when you put Anthony Davis and LeBron together on the same team, you guys see the gap, right? Like Anthony Davis, 60th in the NBA in fourth quarter scoring. Last night, Anthony Davis, 6-for-20. Last night, Anthony Davis hurt again. When you put LeBron and AD on the same floor, it is the Grand Canyon of a gap. You can keep hating on this guy and criticizing this guy. I mean, old man flex last night. Good for LeBron. Okay, here is here's a rule. And I'm going to say it. Who is Nick Saban's best friend in coaching, Joy?
Bill Belichick.
Winners like winners. Winners don't like hanging around losers. Winners don't like hanging around mediocre people. Stars hang out with stars. Winners hang out with winners. And the NBA, more than any league in the world, maybe international soccer is close, is a star-driven league. LeBron stayed in Cleveland for years, and then he went to the Olympics. He was like, you mean I can play with guys like that? And LeBron came back to Cleveland. He's like, I want to go play with Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh. LeBron for years stayed in Cleveland, and he was loyal, and he didn't leave. And then he started sampling playing with other great players. It was like, damn, that, you're going from like a steak. Like that's a steakhouse and just getting a steak. You can go to a lot of restaurants and get a steak, but you go to a good steakhouse and get a steak, you're like, that. You stop going to the other restaurants that also have steak on the menu, but they're not steakhouses. So Giannis is a star. We know Milwaukee does not attract free agents. It doesn't. It's like Utah. It's a great NBA franchise, but they don't attract free agents. Here's a rumor, and it's not a bad one, and I believe it to be true. The Warriors acquired Andrew Wiggins for one reason. To get Giannis. Remember, Wiggins makes a lot of money. In order to trade for Giannis, you have to have a huge salary. Wiggins makes a lot of money. They're also going to have the number one pick in the draft and Minnesota's pick, which will be a lottery pick. Can Milwaukee do better than Andrew Wiggins and two lottery picks? I'll say it again. The key to this league, because this would change the league if he goes to Golden State. It will change the league. You thought Durant and the Warriors were good. Durant gone. Giannis, Steph, Draymond, and Klay. No thank you. That you might as well just set your clock to those guys in the finals. If Chris Middleton for Milwaukee does what he did last year in the playoffs and shrinks, Giannis is gone. Winners want to hang out with winners. Stars want to hang out with stars. Belichick and Saban. Belichick has to go to college to find a guy he wants to hang out with. Saban's got to go to the pros to find a guy he wants to talk to. Winners hang out with winners. Last year, Chris Middleton, in that series against Toronto, had one game over 14 points. We know about the NBA. The refs, Joy and I talk about this, the refs swallow the whistle. The refs don't want to get in the way of the series. And so what happens in the NBA playoffs, guys who are not comfortable in that physical space, they shrink. James Harden shrinks. People play real defense, and the refs swallow the whistle. So James Harden doesn't get the call in the playoffs. He's a great player, but he's not as dominant in the playoffs. Paul George is a very talented player. Doesn't always like the physicality of it. Paul George shrinks in the playoffs. Now, Kawhi can be physical. LeBron can be physical. D. Wade, physical. Paul Pierce could be physical. The late Kobe could be physical. Shaq could be physical. Those guys don't shrink in the playoffs. The NBA playoffs, refs swallow whistles. It's a players and a stars league. Young guys shrink, and guys that don't like physicality shrink. Chris Middleton shrinks. Remember last year against Toronto? Milwaukee up 2-0, series over, game three win, series over. Chris Middleton was 3-for-16. Evaporated. Folks, that happens again. Giannis is out. Stars hang with stars. Winners hang with winners. He's not sticking around in Milwaukee with Chris Middleton, who's a nice kid and a 20-a-night regular season player. But you get to the postseason. Boston plays defense and gets physical. Toronto plays defense and gets physical. Okay, Philadelphia's got size and can be physical. Get ready for it, Milwaukee. This rumor, Golden State can offer perhaps the number one pick, another lottery pick, and Andrew Wiggins' salary matches up. And right now, never forget this. This is why, and this will change the league. Giannis will go from Chris Middleton's my number two to Steph is my number two, Klay is my number three, and Draymond is my number four. That is a five-year dynasty. That is, you don't want any part of that. That would go down as potentially, that would rival Phil Jackson, Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen's Bulls. That one you'd be like, okay, they shoot better than the Bulls, they're better inside than the Bulls, and they got a great coach. That would be an all-time team. And Giannis knows it. And don't kid yourself. The timing is perfect. Think about this. LeBron has left the East. This is why Milwaukee has to win now. They have to win the East. LeBron left the East. Kawhi left the East. The Sixers are gifted but dysfunctional. KD this year is hurt. This is the year. Middleton shrinks. Giannis would be out of his mind not to sign an extension. He'd be out of his mind. He's a smart kid. And by the way, he's done everything you've asked of him in Milwaukee. Don't blame him. He's done everything. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he just signs an extension tomorrow to put these things to rest. But Milwaukee does not attract free agents. And if I can go from Chris Middleton's my two to Steph and then Klay and Draymond, I'm going 74-8. What's 74 plus 8 is 60, 82. Yes, that's my record. So I think this story is real. I think the window is now. If Milwaukee cannot win the East with KD out, LeBron, Kawhi out, Sixers talented but dysfunctional, you can't win it this year. It's not getting easier. All those good Celtic players, Jason Tatum's 21, Jaylen Brown, they're all getting better. Jason Tatum has made a huge leap this year from year one to year two. I mean, he is a top seven player in the league. That kid can put it on the deck. He can shoot. He can score. He can drive. Jason Tatum now, he's not getting worse. He is going to be a star for a decade. Jaylen Brown now, Kyrie's gone, giving you 20. These young Celtics are only getting better, and they draft like you know what. So they're just, and they have picks. I am so fired up today.
You definitely are.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
The Combine's this week. Let's just all agree on something. This whole sport is about talent acquisition. And what you're trying to do is find players that they can that are talented and they work together. It's not just about he's great, he's great, he's great. You have to find the pieces that fit together. And we also know that quarterback is very, very important. It's the most important position. Now, so far, you and I agree on this. But here's the difference. You think, most of America thinks, if your quarterback wins, that's good enough. Oh, that's adorable. You're one of those guys that put on 40 pounds and just loosen the belt up. That good enough? It's not good enough. It's not good enough. Mm-mm. Winning is what lousy franchises. Oh my God, we won 9 games in Buffalo right now. Winning games. No, in New England, it's winning titles. The Yankees, it's winning titles. Andy Reid, it's winning titles. Philadelphia Eagles want to win titles. New York Giants want to win titles. The Packers want to win titles. Aaron Rodgers is above winning games. Russell Wilson's moved past winning games. It's about winning championships. It's what winners do, okay? The Detroit Lions, here's a stat for you. The Detroit Lions have the number 3 pick. The most game-changing talented person available is Tua. That's not disputable. These other cornerbacks, pass rushers, they're not taking 70 snaps. So Detroit's like, well, Matt Stafford is talented. All right. But he's not a winner. And he's definitely not a winner against really good competition. In the last 11 years, 2009, he's won 12% of his games, 8-55, against playoff teams. Folks, if you were his cousin, you'd say, we got to move off Matt Stafford. Not only does he not win, and this idea, if it's just about talent in this league, it's not. It's about quarterback fit. It's not even just about winning. If it's about winning, Kansas City never moves off Alex Smith. They never move off Alex Smith. Baltimore doesn't move off Joe Flacco. But Alex and Flacco could no longer beat consistently the really good teams and win in January. Matt Stafford doesn't win divisions. Matt Stafford can't beat 12%, can't beat playoff teams. Just because he's the best you've ever had doesn't mean he's the best you can have. Story came out yesterday on Tua. Following 2 days of medical testing, Tua has received overwhelmingly positive reports on his dislocated hip. MRIs were clean, fracture is healed, no loss of blood flow. One source said Tua, quote, looked great, unquote. Now, Detroit's Bob Quinn doubled down yesterday. We're not trading Matt Stafford. Who says you have to trade him? Alex Smith wasn't traded. They drafted Mahomes for a year, then moved off him. Don't trade Matt Stafford. You draft Tua. You mentor Tua. You develop Tua. You watch Tua. But Detroit, look at winning franchises. Baltimore, winners. Kansas City, winners. Great ownership. You do not pass on a Lamar Jackson, a Patrick Mahomes. Why are you so gun-shy? Yeah, he's the best you've had. He's not the best you could have. Go ahead, stay with older, can't win a division, can't beat playoff teams, Matt Stafford. Fine, I got nothing against him if you're petrified of the salary cap. But you've got to have higher standards in this sport. A corner from Ohio State? I'm not changing anything in your division. That's not changing anything. You still don't have a roster that's close to Minnesota. You don't have a quarterback that's like Aaron Rodgers. Or, frankly, Green Bay's roster is now pretty good. I mean, it's go give that number again. This is against playoff teams. Matt Stafford, 8-55. Come on now. I'll get to the Derek Carr stuff later. I like Derek. I don't love him. I like him. But come on. 8-55? Two is there? Tua's coming out of college higher rated than Mahomes. More people want Tua. There's going to be multiple teams moving up Tua. I don't get it. You know, sometimes I have sympathy. You know, orphans, burn victims. You know, I have sympathy for people that have bad breaks. But I don't have a ton of sympathy for people who have opportunities and keep passing on them. I've run out of sympathy for the Cleveland Browns. Carson Wentz, not interested. Okay. I mean, again, I lose sympathy when you have something on a plate handed to you and you're arrogant or fearful. Detroit, you pass on Tua? No sympathy, because he is there. He is healthy. He is great. He was great as a freshman in the SEC. The best defensive college in college football. There's not even anything close to the SEC plays defense. Nothing's even close in college football. He walked in and owned it. You love Joe Burrow. He couldn't win a job in the Big Ten. He struggled as a junior, and you love him. Tua was great as a 19-year-old.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
It was about a year ago that one of the broadcasters at the other company, a company I used to work for and then upgraded, they had Paul Pierce on, and Paul Pierce was talking about Zion. And Paul Pierce is a former great player, played at Kansas. He was a Celtic. I love Paul Pierce. Hall of Famer to me. Great player. Love Paul. And Paul went on the air and he said, you know, I think Zion is going to be a top 50 player. I was like, top 50? He's going to walk into this league, be a hell of a lot better than that. So here's what I said when Paul Pierce said top 50 player, first day in the league. Top 50? Of course he's a top 50 player. The question is he a top 20 basketball player in the world? Great passer, excellent touch, absurdly transcendent speed for his size. Top 50, obviously. I was crushed for that. I said the question is he going to be a top 20 player? The bloggers, that's very hurtful. There were months I could not sleep. Bloggers, substantial bloggers, people living not only in their mother's basement, but in the attic as well, really took shots at me. Here's one of the headlines from a very popular blogger. Colin Cowherd is wrong, and they started listing 25 players better than Zion Williamson. One of them was Gordon Hayward. Seriously. Sorry to laugh on the air. Last night against the longest team in the NBA, JaVale McGee, Dwight Howard, Anthony Davis, LeBron James, he dropped a pedestrian 29, went to the free throw line 17 times. Yeah. He's 19. He's a year out of high school. He's getting better. He's played 13 games, 12. He's been exceptional. He's unrefined. He's raw. You keep talking yourself out of Zion Williamson. You sell that stock, bruh. I'll buy it. You start listing guys today in the NBA you wouldn't trade for. And by the way, if you owned a team, you'd do it tomorrow because that kid is attendance, ratings, discussion. Last year, I had almost 350 million views on Facebook. You know how many I'm going to have this year? Probably more. And 30, 50 million are going to be on Zion. I didn't talk about Anthony Davis twice in 7 years in New Orleans. You wouldn't trade Anthony Davis for Zion. You sure about that? If you're an owner, you sure about that? Oh, well, Zion could get hurt. Anthony Davis got hurt last night facing Zion. Zion didn't get hurt. He went right after him, and he's 19. I know the limitations of Anthony Davis. He hadn't proved he makes a team better. He hadn't proved that. He didn't make New Orleans great. They won one playoff game. And it was the guards, Rondo and Drew Holiday, who really in that series shut down Dame and C.J. McCollum to some point. So you keep talking yourself out of this. I got crushed for saying, I think he's going to walk in and be a top 20 player. And I don't have a list of top 20 players, but right now, Ben Simmons or Zion? I'm taking Zion. Westbrook or Zion? I'm taking Zion. You're not? Paul George or Zion? I'm taking Zion. This is how good he is at 19? I mean, LeBron James faced him first time last night. Here was LeBron James, who's got a pretty good eye for talent. Here's what he thought.
Kid's special. I mean, we all know that. And every game is going to be another opportunity for him to get better and a learning experience for him. But in today's game, where it's a track race, it's a fast pace, it's high tempo, it fits his game perfectly. And the way that they play, it fits his game perfectly because they get the ball out. First 8 seconds, they're trying to score and score and score. But the kid is special, man. And they got a good one in them.
Let me tell you something. They got Lonzo Ball and Ingram. The Pelicans just space it out. You can't double him. And so what Zion's game is, this is where he's got a lot of Sean Kemp, and I don't think he'll ever be the gifted shooter that Barkley was. Barkley's an unbelievable talent. He could big butt, score low, mid-range, fast break, threes. Barkley was insane. But this kid is Sean Kemp with a better touch. He's Sean Kemp with a velvety touch. You keep selling it. I think he's remarkable. When you watch somebody in any field in life, this is why I love Tua at Alabama. Tua was 19 years old from Hawaii. So they asked Tua, they brought him all the way to Alabama. Forget the mainland. It's a long flight to go from Honolulu to L.A. They sent him to Alabama, 19 years old, championship game. Hey, we need you to bail us out. Boom. When you're Andre Agassi at 16 years old and you're beating 28-year-old pros, Zion is this good now. He's not even refined. He hasn't even faced all the forwards in the league. He's played 13 games.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
He scouted for two of the best organizations in the NFL, the Eagles and the Ravens, also for Cleveland now in the Chargers game. And former college football player Daniel Jeremiah joining me, NFL Network via the Coward Global Satellite Network. Okay, I'm getting all sorts of heat. Oh, boy. They're crushing me because I said yesterday, Daniel, I said, listen, you can't tell me hand size isn't something. You're going to go to windy, rainy Pittsburgh in Cincinnati, in Baltimore, in Cleveland. Burrow's got a good arm, but not special. He's got smaller hands, took till his fifth year to pop. Is it unfair for me to say this about Joe Burrow? I think he's a good prospect. But I think Tua, if healthy, is a great prospect. Is that unfair?
Well, I think it's unfair because when you look at the two, and if they were both totally healthy, I would take the best of what I've seen from Joe Burrow stacked up of what the best I've seen from Tua, and I would give Burrow the edge. Now, we can go to the hand size thing. If there was evidence on tape that that was an issue, I would have more of a concern. If he grew up in San Diego instead of Ohio and hadn't played in that weather his entire life, it would be more of a concern. But in this specific instance, I don't really have any cause for concern in those areas, Colin. And to me, if you want to talk about the evaluation of these two players, and I love Tua, but if you look at two guys that played on incredibly talented football teams, how do you separate them? How do you study them? You look at how they played against great opponents, and you look at how they played under pressure. And in those two environments, everything skews very heavily towards Joe Burrow.
But it took him until his last year. They did have the best offensive line in the country. It won the award. He has the second best running back in this draft, according to scouts. He has the best undraftable wide receiver. And he also had an NFL coach in a very collegiate conference. So he had a little bit of a, you know, he had a little elevation in coaching. Can I look at that and go, why did he take 5 years to pop?
Well, I can look at it and explain it right away to you because I talked to Joe Burrow about this exact thing. And when you look at – let's just look at the LSU thing because he got beat out by a player at Ohio State who ended up being a first-round pick in Haskins. How many times have we seen college coaches choose the wrong quarterback? Even though he's been a good player and Haskins threw 50 touchdowns and was very successful there. But we can talk about Urban Meyer, you know, choosing Tim Tebow over Cam Newton. That doesn't necessarily mean what those guys are going to be at the next level.
Right.
So when I look at Burrow getting to LSU, Colin, he showed up to LSU as a transfer. He showed up after the freshman had reported in fall camp. This guy didn't get there and go through a spring ball. He wasn't there over the summer. So you get there, you've got to learn everything at that point in time. You got to learn your teammates, plug and play. And the biggest thing was they were in an offense that they ran, which they were in seven-man protection. So Joe Burrow does not have a huge arm. I agree with you on that. That is the flaw. What he does have, his superhuman power, is his vision. So when you can release four and five guys out into the route, he sees the whole field. He sees it beautifully. He makes great decisions, and he's accurate. They lived in six and seven man protection in 18. Joe Brady comes in there and says, wait a second, let's unlock this super trait this kid has. Let's get everybody out. And they were in five-man protection 80-plus percent of the time. And the rest is history. And he did it against top 10 team after top 10 team after top 10 team.
You have Jordan Love again ahead of Justin Herbert. Now, I like Love. If you go back in YouTube, I told the audience this, YouTube is sophomore year. He was a monster. Statistically, you can make the argument if his sophomore year was his junior year and his junior year was his sophomore year, he'd be a top three pick. I mean, he was that special with nobody around him. But you have him over Justin Herbert, and I am hearing so much criticism of Herbert. Let's specifically talk about not just Jordan, but Justin Herbert. What scares you? What worries you about the Oregon quarterback?
Yeah, sure. First of all, a little bit up and down when you're just talking about accuracy first and foremost. But the biggest issue, and Herbert has a lot of things going for him. When you look at the size, the arm strength, he's a great athlete. He's a 4.0 student. He's intelligent, the character. I mean, that's a lot in this kid's favor. But he's not really a playmaker. He's not really somebody when things go off script. Is he going to make something special happen? And Colin, you know, when you look at the broader picture, the college football game is giving us more defensive linemen than offensive linemen on a yearly basis.
True.
So things are not going to be as they're drawn up on the play sheet. It's not going to always work like that. You've got to be able to execute outside the offense. And Justin Herbert is a little bit robotic in that regard. So that to me, Jordan Love, that's what he excels at. You get off script, you get off platform. He's a more loose, elastic thrower, whereas Herbert's a little muscle bound and a little more rigid. You see Love, man, it is loose and he's explosive. He can throw off his back leg. He can throw on the move right or left. He's just more of a playmaker. He's not ready to play right away. You know, I'd feel comfortable in a game tomorrow with Herbert over Love, but if I'm drafting my quarterback for the next decade, there's a lot more to work with in Jordan Love, in my opinion.
Okay, so let's get off quarterback for a second. Every draft has, you know, one or two guys. I remember when Patrick Willis got drafted years ago at Ole Miss. He was like the 11th pick, and I remember being on another network, and I said, I'm not a scout, but that kid is going to blow people up like week one of preseason. Chase Young is looks like to me to be the guy that the scouts are like, no doubt about it. So, but is he an absolute lock? Are there flaws in his game? Because I'm hearing this LT stuff. I'm hearing that. Any flaws here?
Well, he's a little bit tight. You know, he's not, you know, when you talk about some of the bendy edge rushers, when you look at the Von Millers, the DeMarcus Ware type players, he's not going to bend and wrap around the top of his rush like some of those guys. But he's extremely big, long, explosive. He's skilled with his hands. I mean, Larry Johnson, the D-line coach at Ohio State, why an NFL team hasn't thrown gobs of money at this guy to bring him in, looking at what he's developed along the defensive line there at Ohio State, is crazy to me. But this kid's polished. He knows how to finish as a rusher. I laughed at the end of the year when people were like, oh, he didn't finish well. He didn't have sacks in those last, you know, couple games. And I'm like, you watched the Clemson game? He hit Trevor Lawrence like 8 times in that game. He was getting double and triple teamed in that game. Now, there's some context that matters. It's not just the sack number on the stat sheet. This kid's pretty dominant.
Daniel Jeremiah is joining us. Does he compare to the Bosa brothers? Now, Nick, I think, is a better athlete than Joey. Yeah. They're both very good. I think Nick's a special athlete. Is he as good as Nick Bosa?
I had Nick with a little bit higher grade. And Nick is the best leverage pass rusher that I've ever evaluated.
Wow.
And what I mean by that is you look, you can see his lower body. Just look how he's built. He gets underneath tackles, and you see it with all pro tackles. He gets underneath them, and they have no breaks. I mean, he just runs right through them with that power and the leverage that he has. And he builds everything off that. So he's unique. I would rank him just off college grades. And I say this knowing, you know, calling Charger games that Joey will probably punch me. But I have it Nick, then I have it Chase, then I have it Joey. And I think they're all three special players. They're all three going to be perennial Pro Bowl players.
Okay. You know, it's funny. 16 of the top 32 players in your mock draft are from the SEC. And, you know, I said this yesterday. I'm so overhearing people whine about SEC bias. They have the most good players. In fact, I was watching Bucky Brooks, your buddy and my buddy, the other day. A third of his first round was LSU or Alabama players, like two programs. Yeah. And so is it as a scout and a former scout, is it getting greater? Is really the SEC now separating to even a greater level than everybody else, Daniel?
Yeah, and I think it's been interesting because you've really got, I kind of look at it as the SEC, Clemson, Ohio State. Like, if you want to shop for all your groceries, you can get everything you need and just going in those three locations.
Right.
But it used to be, you know, a while ago, the Big 12 kind of fell off, right? You have Oklahoma. I should include them in this.
Yeah, Oklahoma's got players,
Yeah, they have great players. But outside of Oklahoma, the rest of that conference has kind of fallen off. And the Pac-12 was still, you know, was still close. And then I think that, to me, is the biggest storyline, is where the Pac-12 is now versus maybe where it was when USC was humming and rolling. USC, Colin, has got to get back on the map. They have got to get back to what they were to really make the Pac-12 relevant and really make the West Coast relevant again. That's what's needed.
All right, Daniel Jeremiah, it is great seeing you. Your podcast is Outside the Sticks, right?
Move the Sticks. Move the Sticks, Colin.
Move the Sticks.
Bucky.
Okay. All right. Move the Sticks. Thank you. Good seeing you, buddy. Thanks for joining us.
All right, see you, Colin.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
You know, the thing about when you host this show, I have to be here every day. So you guys can be wrong and you just disappear. I can't disappear. I got to be here the next day. So when I have strong opinions like Baker Mayfield's a reach at number one, he's not disciplined or focused and he's immature but talented. I was here every day. Every day, you and Cleveland kind of disappeared as his season unraveled. Another story today. Another one. He wasn't in shape last year. According to Ian Rappaport, all the new Browns people, the new GM and the new coach and the new quarterback coach, the plan is this year on him being in better shape. Now, I said this during the course of last year. He looked pudgy. Now, you can tell me, you go ahead and tell me that he did it to just get stronger, but you don't add muscle in your stomach. He was pudgy last year. Lamar Jackson, between year one and two, he added 15 pounds, too, to his traps and his shoulders. I don't have to worry about Carson Wentz and Patrick Mahomes and Drew Brees and Lamar Jackson and Russell Wilson being in shape. Russell adds weight every year. Muscle, not to his stomach. I said it last year. Focus, Baker. Focus. Good news is you were awful last year, so all those TV ads go away. Focus. The quarterback coach talked about your mechanics got to get better. He didn't focus. New staff is saying you got to get in better shape and slim down. Brown fans, I'm here every day. You can hate me. 9 to 12 Pacific regularly. I'm not going anywhere. And I've been right from day one on John Dorsey. I was right in Freddie Kitchens. I've been right in Baker Mayfield. Focus. Because I know Mahomes is focused, and I know Lamar is focused, and I know Wentz is focused, and I know Russell Wilson's focused. This has been a focus issue. That's what we said last year. He seems distracted. The TV ads, you know how long it takes to shoot TV ads? 2, 3, 4 days. You're flying places. You're doing ads. You're not good enough yet to do this stuff. Now I find out he wasn't in shape. Well, he was trying to get stronger. You don't add weight to the gut to get stronger. His traps weren't bigger. That's not what he looked like. We got tape of him. It wasn't about his traps got bigger. That was Lamar Jackson. So, once again, by the way, what does Tom Brady work on his whole offseason? Mechanics, diet, footwork. What has the new quarterback coach complained about in the last 2 weeks about Baker? You know, the footwork, the mechanics. We got to clean up the footwork. What were you doing last year? That's all Brady does all offseason. Diet, mechanics, focus. Guess those beers you were drinking at that baseball game, maybe...